gets better. Say that it gets better. O-P-S, I'm gay-ish.
Hello, everyone in the podcast universe. This is Gay-ish,
the podcast that loves the sound of gay stereotypes being broken, and it sounds a little something like this.
Boopity boop boppity bop bop.
Gayest sound of gay stereotypes being broken. Oh, I love it, but it's beautiful.
We did not plan that, and I
put you on the spot with my finger.
Yep, you should finger me more often. I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Getz.
And we're here to bridge the gap between sexuality and actuality. And
finger today, you to get a boop out of you.
Today,
we're going to talk about YouTube censorship.
We're going to talk about YouTube censorship.
And
dirty fuckers.
Dirty motherfuckers. We don't care, but oh no, these do get posted on YouTube.
Oh,
they don't
whatever
care. Yeah, we're not interesting enough to like be worth exploring, I don't think. And I'm really excited. We are going to talk about censorship. We're going to start with a specific example that happened recently. So to help us do that, we're going to have gay porn star Calvin Banks and Davey Wavy on the show.
Yeah,
so that's coming up in a little bit.
It's kind of weird to me that like we hang out with Davey Wavy.
Yeah, we're just like
on the reg.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, what? Like four times is like, yeah, we're pretty much besties. He's going to be my best man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
He's my emergency contact.
I'm not threatened at all. Okay. But first
news. Oh, wait. Oh, no. I have a thing to say.
Okay.
Thank you to our new patrons on Patreon.
Patreon, my dick.
It's Patreon.
You know, I'm better when I'm already drinking when we start recording.
And you have been for, boy, a little bit now. So thank you to patron members Kevin Tuvey and Ryan Easterly. We appreciate you.
Yeah, we appreciate you and your money.
And mostly we appreciate your money.
And Kevin, I'm sorry that we couldn't hang out the night before last, but I was not feeling well at all. And
this is a very personal message. Also, Mom, if you're listening, can you get some milk from the store? I probably need it. Okay. A little bit of a correction.
Yeah.
Do you? I
was going to talk about it.
Yeah. Okay.
I think if it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So VLoveLanguages.com is the right website, because if you go to the actual one of the actual book, you're supporting a fucker.
Wait. Oh, wait. There's a different one that's the actual one. Okay, so
you no, I didn't. Dick face.
No, I. I really got confused by what you said.
I mean, the website is fivelovelanguages.com.
But like spelled with a Roman numeral V, right?
But with the Arabic numeral five at the beginning.
Exciting opportunity. Vlovelanguages.com doesn't appear to be owned by anyone.
Oh my God, let's park it right now.
Wait, did they just lose it? did that used to be a site? Now they just lost their... I'm getting very confused. No, I can't. What's happening? V Love Languages?
No.
What's the actual site? The official site?
Five.
Oh.
Lovelanguages.com.
Got it. The number five. Not in a V, just in a five.
Correct.
Okay.
But VLoveLanguages.com might be available. We should buy it now.
Okay. Great.
Or we should let one of the Gayish Agenda members buy it and see what they come up with.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. The author of that book is super Christian, is not affirming of gay people.
Yeah.
Has offered advice to parents about how to deal with the tragedy of having a gay child.
Yeah.
And I'm torn about this. Like I said, our Facebook group, we had a big discussion about it in our Facebook group,
yeah.
facebook.com/group/gayishpodcast.
Nice.
And I'm torn because despite the fact that this person is clearly a fucker,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't necessarily mean that his ideas are also fucked.
Yeah, terrible people sometimes say smart things.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, so like, but I think the important thing is, yes, we can learn from, you know, even though it came from someone terrible, I think it's a helpful thing to think about, way to think about your relationship, but like, let's not buy his book or go to his site or like support him in any meaningful way.
Yeah, exactly.
So go to whichever site is not the real one, because I'm still a little bit confused about that. Don't go to the real one.
Yeah.
That sucks.
But do think about your own love language and the love language of your potential partner, and don't do unto them as you would have them do unto you, but do unto them as they would have you do unto them.
And if all else fails, just buy them a puppy. Surprise puppies.
Surprise puppies. They can never fail. Best. It never best goes badly.
Yep. Always works out.
Perfect.
Well, that's my love language, surprise puppies.
Mm-hmm. It's a lesser known sixth love language.
Five and a half. yeah, so wah-wah. Do you want to talk about news then?
I don't know.
Oh, no. God, there's some interesting... I know at least one story that we're going to talk about.
There's so much happening. Let's talk about that one story. So, okay. So on last week's show, we talked about Jussie Smollett, or was that 2 weeks ago?
You know.
In recent memory, on a recent episode of Gayish, we talked about Jussie Smollett, who is the guy that is an actor on Empire that was jumped and hate-crimed in Chicago, and so...
Called slurs regarding his race and his sexual orientation.
Correct. And had a rope put around his neck and a substance of unknown nature... poured on him and beaten.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's probably the start of a superhero movie. Like, that substance is poured on him, he transforms, becomes something
even gayer.
Even gayer. That's his superpower. Even gayer.
Yeah, and now everyone he touches turns gay.
Like the Midas touch, but it's like the Midas touch.
Yep, exactly.
That was episode 105, which is 2 weeks ago, about work. Work.
Work.
Work, 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 work.
You don't want to go to work. Work, work, work. What?
Work it. Okay.
So, poison.
Poison. Yeah. Okay, so the Chicago Police Department had two suspects in custody, questioned them, and has released them without charging them. And the reason is because, quote-unquote, new evidence has come to light that Jussie Smollett actually arranged for that to happen and that he paid for it.
Arranged to be attacked.
He paid them to attack him.
Is this confirmed
for the press? That's the thing. The evidence, as near as I can tell, has not been released at all. Mm. The police have released those two suspects, but have not released whatever evidence that talking to them has uncovered.
I feel like it was just like they said that he...
One of the two brothers, because they were brothers that were arrested, one of the two brothers did work briefly on Empire, so there is a personal connection there that sort of lends credence to the idea that there's a connection there that Jussie could have utilized to arrange for this kind of a thing to happen.
But or it also could indicate that that person knew him and wanted to attack him because of, you know, whatever shitty person he is.
Yep. Chicago detectives, quote, have additional investigative work to complete. Which is part of the reason that they're not releasing more information, because they're not done yet. But the Smollett camp still stands by the original story. Quote, as a victim of hate crime who has cooperated with the police investigation, Jussie Smollett is angered and devastated by recent reports that the perpetrators are individuals he is familiar with, the statement read. He has now been further victimized by claims attributed to these alleged perpetrators that Jussie played a role in his own attack. Nothing is further from the truth, and anyone claiming otherwise is lying.
Wow. That so, developing story? Is this a story to watch?
This is a story to watch. At the same time, like, if he's lying, if he paid those jokers to, like, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense to me. Like, he...
Like, why would you do that?
Why would you do that?
I feel
that?
Like you do that for, like, the publicity. Like, you...
I mean, I guess I'd let somebody punch me in the face for a lot of money, but...
But, like... But he's giving up money. He's not getting money. Oh, like, you mean, like, then they get publicity and then they...
Yeah, like, if I could pay a bum $100 to punch you in the face and it would make Gayish famous, would you ask me...
You would do that even if, like, it was just a Tuesday and it had no impact.
I mean, the real question at that point is cash or check, I think.
do you, Mr. Bum, accept credit? I mean, not saying that this is what happened, because clearly we don't know, but, like, I don't know, the only reason I could think of doing that is to get the publicity and the kind of, you know, outreach of support from as, like, a... What is that? Like, is it Munchausen's, where you like the attention from being sick?
Yes.
So, like, it could be like a weird form of that. Or it's not true and he really was the victim of a hate crime. I feel like in these, this kind of situation, you have to side on like believing the victim, and I mean, explore all options, but for now, before anything, while things are not conclusive yet, just side with he is the victim of some kind of attack.
Yep. Yep.
And he still vehemently denies that he's like, I was a victim of the attack. Like that. Yeah. The official statement is really clear that
he's saying no.
Yeah.
It's fucked up, Kyle.
Shit's fucked up.
Okay. Can we move on?
Yeah.
This is an old story. This happened, 2 years ago, and a Canadian man tried to enter the United States. He was selected for secondary inspection at customs in Vancouver, coming into the United States, right? Did I already say that part?
No.
A Canadian man was coming into the United States. He stopped at the border in Vancouver.
Okay.
It's not Vancouver. I don't know why they said that, but... customs. Ha ha. It was an airport. We live so close to Canada that I just assume if you're going like in and out of Canada by train or you're driving, yeah. Most people go by plane.
Yeah.
Funny that. Anyway, he was selected for secondary inspection at customs pre-clearance in Vancouver. During the screening, an officer took possessions, including his phone and computer, and demanded all of his passwords. He gave them to the customs officer, U.S. Border Patrol, for the win. It included the passwords to his dating apps. So, he said, quote, I was scared, so I gave them the passwords and I sat there for at least an hour or two. I missed my flight. The officer came back and just started grilling me. Is this your email? And it was an email attached to a Craigslist account for sex ads. He asked me, is this your account on Scruff? Is this you on BBRT, which is bareback RT, I guess. Anyway, he read a message on Scruff and was particularly interested in... The officer thought the message, I'm looking for loads, meant the traveler was looking for cash in exchange for sex.
Oh, straight people.
Yeah. Yeah. He tried to explain, no, I just
want buckets of cum.
I just want lots of cum.
It's an uncomfortable conversation to have with a security officer.
Yep, that's payment enough. Like, it was like Kavanaugh trying to explain to the court, explain to Congress what he meant by all these things in his yearbook,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, he accepted an offer to not travel to the U.S. in exchange for not being barred from entering the country for life.
Hmm. So like that one time he was like, okay, maybe I won't go to the US right now, but I can still do it in the future.
Yep.
Man, the price of loads.
Yep. The price of loads. Then he tried to come back into the United States again. This time he wiped his phone. They denied him entry into the United States and said, quote, next time you come through, don't have a cleared phone.
What?
He said, you're a suspected escort. You cleared your phone. It's clearly because you're hiding it. No, you can't come into the United States again.
That's...
Anyway, I think that people have this mistaken idea that Border Patrol agents aren't fuckers. And they very much are.
Not all of them.
Not... Hashtag not all border agents.
But, yeah, they can... I mean, they have so much power over... like this important thing of like, can I travel? So
listen, my dad's a retired cop and I feel bad when I say things like this because I genuinely do not believe that it applies to my father. Hmm. And because of it, I know a lot of cops and goddamn near all of them are insecure little boys who are just looking for ways to feel bigger. Hmm. And it's really horrible. I think that so much of police brutality, the way that they treat suspects, the decisions that they make about who to pursue, and not so much of that is just driven by insecurity and bullying behavior. It's really, really sad.
Hmm. Wow.
What?
I mean, everything's awful.
Everything is awful.
Everything
is fucked when you live in the States. Okay. Next?
Yeah.
Okay, great. This is the last one that I have, and then we can move on to whatever other shit we're going to talk about today. On Saturday Night Live this weekend, on Saturday, Don Cheadle was the host, and he went introducing musical guest Gary Clark Jr. Who the fuck is that?
Hmm.
Anyway.
Some dude's son.
They came back from commercial, and he wore a shirt that said "Protect Trans Kids."
I saw this picture floating around.
Yeah. He stuck to the script and did not reference the message, but he clearly stood with his arms behind his back so that it could be read. And I just think that that's really, it's really, really awesome that he would do that.
It's using the time and position and power that he has to help promote a group that needs the support of everyone, even beyond people in that group. So that's awesome.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially because trans kids are kids.
Yeah.
And people are so fucking shitty about trans shit that they somehow think that that trumps the fact that these are fucking children.
Yeah. It's so crazy. I keep thinking of like this exchange where someone's like, oh, like your name is Kathy. And it's like, well, yeah, that's what my birth certificate says, but I go by Sarah. And someone being like, no, well, your birth certificate says Kathy. I refuse to call you Sarah. It's Kathy. Like,
yeah,
like that's the same thing of like, use male pronouns. And it's like refusing to do it. It's like, if someone says, call me by this name, you call them by that name. Like you don't
call me by my name,
call
bitch.
Me by my name, Sarah. like it just, like, why do you get to decide what gender pronoun someone else uses?
Because Jesus, Kyle.
I know.
It's always goddamn Jesus.
Jesus cares so much about genitals.
So much.
That's, yeah.
So much.
So much.
This took a turn. Don Cheadle, thank you
oh, yeah.
for wearing a t-shirt that said Protect Trans Kids on national television, even though it was for an artist I've never heard of before.
Yeah.
I appreciate you, and I appreciate your efforts.
Yeah.
And
go trans youth.
Go trans youth.
Are we talking about YouTube censorship?
Yeah, okay, let's do it.
Don't read.
It just is so upsetting. It's so upsetting.
See, this is a real, yeah, it for sure is. Yeah, so this is something I've kind of heard a little bit about, but didn't really understand until us doing this research now. So like, I've kind of heard the like general idea that YouTube is kind of discriminating or censoring LGBT creators.
Yeah.
I didn't really know like, why is that happening? What's going on? So I'm excited to kind of like both understand it for myself and then break it down for other people to, you know, who are in my position too.
Yeah.
Yup. So I think to start off, we're going to talk to, I was almost going to say Calvin Klein. That's not his name. Calvin Banks. We're going to start off by talking to Calvin Banks and Davey Wavy about a recent story that happened to them last week.
Okay. Yeah.
Should we do that?
Yeah. I'm a little disappointed that apparently like we're not going to see Calvin or his penis. We're just going to hear his voice.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
I mean, it's up to you to.
I did. You
okay.
I do.
You imagine.
I will.
You, okay.
I have.
Mm-hmm. Good for you. And you at home, go look him up. And that way you can imagine the beautiful man that's voicing his words through his mouth.
Face soul.
Yep. Do you want to take a break and come back with Calvin Banks?
Okay, let's take a break. Yeah.
Motherfucker.
That's motherfucker. This is the part where Mike and Kyle take a break.
Do you remember what it was like when PrEP came out?
I sure do. Yes, it was a big deal because everybody was like, now we don't have to worry about HIV/AIDS anymore, which is pretty huge for the community.
Yeah. Well, imagine that, but for STIs. Imagine a world where STIs are a thing of the past.
Everyone's been talking about DoxyPep, and that's because it's 90% effective at curbing STIs like chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis. You don't want any of those. DoxyPep can make them not happen to you.
And DoxyPep from Shameless Care is one of the places you can get a hold of it. They are a top telemedicine provider with board-certified physicians across all 50 states with one mission, making DoxyPep accessible and affordable.
The process is hassle-free. Answer some medical questions on their HIPAA-compliant online platform, and one of their physicians will prescribe DoxyPep to you. Viola! It's shipped straight to your door in discreet packaging.
It is affordable, just $109 a year, and that covers your online evaluation, the medication, and the shipping.
So ready to rewrite your story? Ready to rediscover the joy of carefree intimacy? Visit shamelesscare.com/gayish and take control of your sexual health.
That's shamelesscare.com/gayish. Your liberation is waiting.
Your liberation.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Mike.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes a lot of energy to do things like record an ad.
Boy, it sure does.
You have to think of a topic. You have to think of something witty to say.
Yeah.
It can be kind of draining sometimes.
Absolutely. And I like being drained, but not in this way.
Life can be draining with more social commitments after the winter. People expect that you're going to hang out, spend more time together, and that can, yeah, that can be draining.
Especially in Seattle when the sun starts coming out and that's when all the people in the world come back asking for your time.
Yep.
I need better boundaries, I think.
Yeah. So therapy helps me process what my social life should look like and how I deal with my social battery, how I invest my time and my effort.
Yeah, me too. And it helps me get those boundaries that I was talking about, or at least remember to try to keep them.
Yep. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/gayish today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/gayish.
BetterHelp.com/gayish. Do it.
Do it.
So are we back?
We are back.
We're back.
We are here with Calvin Banks and Davey Wavy. So welcome, Calvin. Thanks for being on.
Of course, anytime.
And Davey, hi again.
Hey. Hey, girl.
Well, we're really excited to talk to both of you. You know, Davey, you posted a video to your YouTube where Calvin talks about his father abusing him growing up. You can go watch the YouTube video on Davey Wavy's channel. We're going to start, though, talking to you, Calvin, a little bit more about what we saw in that video. So I think it's really amazing that you are willing to talk about that on a YouTube video and on this podcast. So thank you so much for doing that.
Yeah, of course. Well, I mean, I've always been an open book, and I've always wanted to tell my story, so this is just an opportunity to.
That's awesome. And so I know you mentioned in the video you had told some of your family, including your mom, about the abuse.
Yeah, initially it was just family knew about it, but then as I went to therapy, because my mother was very quick to get us into therapy to start addressing the problems that it had caused, after getting into therapy and learning to accept it and be comfortable with it, I was very forward with my friends. And even strangers at times too. I've always been such an open book, and the therapy that I attended really helped me to get to a place where I could comfortably talk about it. And that's why I was able to be so forward in Davey's video, because I've been talking about it for so long now.
So is the YouTube video then the biggest like place that it's been out there for people to hear about?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I'm sure I've talked to a couple fans idly here and there. But yeah, that's definitely the largest platform that my abuse story has been actually put on.
And I'm curious to know, like, when that went up, did you get any kind of response? Was it the same as you were used to? Anything new come out of that?
I'll be honest with you, I was so nervous about the release, because I've known the story myself for so long, but I've never had it put on a platform like that. And so I anticipated a good response, because I've been in the industry for long enough to know that my fans support me wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
And that an opportunity to show them a deeper side of myself is what they all want. So I anticipated a good reaction, but of course there's that thought, that inkling of, could this go bad and how could it be interpreted? But no, I was pleasantly surprised by getting absolutely zero bad response to the video, aside from like the occasional YouTube comment that was like,
don't read the comments,
oh, this kid's fucked up. I mean, but we're all a little fucked up, so
that, I guess, I wonder what people that would comment that are trying to, like, what's the point of them posting that?
What's the point of it? I think it goes into just being internet trolls. We've seen it for years. As long as the internet's been there, they're just trolls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't care about people or feelings. They just want to get a reaction. So
yeah.
They're fun to read.
You said you've gotten, in general, good responses. What kind of things have people been saying when they bring it up to you?
The word brave has been used a lot. Like a lot. Everybody says I'm very brave, and I don't dispute that or the claim that like people who come out about their stories are brave. I just feel like for me, having been so open about this for so long, I don't feel particularly brave, like coming out and talking about it. But that was one description. Another one has been, an overwhelming amount of messages of people coming to me and saying, this happened to me as well, or this person, like I've been through some type of similar trauma. Fans that I have known for 2 to 3 years that I've been in the industry sharing this information with, that I've talked to for this entire time, have never told me this. And after this came out, they shared that with me, things I never knew about them. So, you know, the amount of people who were comfortable with sharing their story with me was overwhelming.
You know, there are a lot of like conservative asshole fuckfaces out there in the world that would say that it's that abuse that made you gay or that made you want to go into porn. Have you encountered anybody hitting you with that message at all?
So I've never been hit with that message aside from when I put that message in my own brain.
Okay.
So when I was, you know, 7, 8 years old and that abuse happened, and then I got older and realized that I did like men and I was a proud gay man for a long time, for like a really long time, actually, throughout my childhood until I got into probably graduating high school. I thought wholeheartedly that my dad's abuse as a child is what turned me gay.
Oh, wow.
And because after my father's abuse became, started like a string of like, you know, kind of weird random sexual events with me and like random friends or whomever it may be. And for the longest time, I really wondered, was it the abuse that made me gay? And like, had my dad not engaged me in that way at such a young age, would I have been able to actually start and maintain a relationship with a woman?
Yeah.
And so I went up against that a lot. And it wasn't until much more recently that I really accepted the fact that we are born this gay. I have a t-shirt that I got when I was like, oh God, I don't know, 11 years old, and I still have it, this skimpy little thing, and it says, born this gay. And it really is true. It took me a while to realize that and accept it, but yeah. So that thought process has gone through my head, but it was never put there by anybody else.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's a good thing that you're in therapy. It's a good thing that everybody's in therapy if they're in therapy.
Like, Mike and I are in therapy every other day, it feels like. But and it was interesting in the video you even talked about, like, what was it, trying on, like, pink panties, and you were, and then, like, after that you said, I was born this gay, or I was born gay.
Bitch, at 5 years old, I should have known better, because at 5 years old, I was putting on a pink thong. It was my new thing. I loved it.
Do you still own any pink thongs that you like to wear?
Okay, so they're not pink, but I do have a metallic gold one.
Ooh.
And the newest edition has been a Versace one. So now we're stepping up in the game a little bit.
Oh, I like it. Yeah. You did mention, even though you do say that you know you were born gay now, you did talk about how your father's abuse made you more sexual at a younger age. So I'm curious to hear, at least on the side of the, like, becoming a porn star, do you think that abuse influenced you to become a porn star?
I feel like normally I'd say yes, but I think a lot of the factors pushing me to become a porn star originally were just the financial aspect of it. I'd been a really hardworking CNA. I was working 70, 80 hours a week, and then I lost my license and I wasn't able to drive anymore. So it was really more opportunistic than anything else. The abuse definitely did make me a much more sexual child. Like, I lost my virginity at 13. And before then were just like, you know, occasional spurts of random sexual activity, simply because I knew what it was and I knew what the action was.
Yeah.
And then from 13 on, I mean, I progressively became more and more of a self-proclaimed hoe.
Yeah.
And then came porn. I wouldn't say that my dad's abuse influenced me getting into porn. I think it definitely put me a step ahead of everybody else, because I was already sexual at such a young age that getting into porn, I didn't have to learn how to suck dick. I didn't have to learn how to eat ass. I didn't have to learn how to treat my bottom right. Like, I knew what I was doing already.
Yeah.
So in a way, I could thank him, because he kind of helped me.
That's a really interesting thing to be able to say about your dad. Do you, is that a joke, or do you actually think he... It helped in a certain way.
And I mean, like, if it doesn't help, it probably hinders. So I'd rather think it helped. I mean, I just think that by being such a sexual being at such a young age, I learned very quickly what other people like. And that's what I pride myself in, especially when it comes to the porn I film. I pride myself in, you know, the content I film being authentic. The sex I have on camera is still very much so real sex. When I got into the industry, I thought there was a stigma about, you know, porn on camera is all fake sex. No, not for me. Like, I have very real, very amazing sex. I just filmed a scene today. That took 5 hours, but we still had a great time. So,
man, so yeah, you're a trooper. Like 20 minutes max in my book.
I wish. On a good day, it's 3 hours. On my worst day, it's 6 or 7 hours.
Okay, when you say your worst day, like what are the things that happen that make a bad like porn day?
Oh, it's everything. Sometimes you wake up and you're just having a bad day. Like, I thought I was going to have a bad day this morning because of water pressure in the shower. I was showering. It was so bad. And I kept shutting off. And I was thinking, damn, my scene's going to be awful today. But it actually turned out to be really well. No, a big thing of it is your scene partner and the environment that you're in. Mm-hmm. Now, the fact that I've been working with Cocky Boys for so long means I'm so comfortable with the filming environment. We have a single videographer, RJ Sebastian. He's the owner. He's one of the owners of the company, and he does all the shooting. It's just him, the scene partner, and myself. So it's just the three of us. It's very personal and very comfortable. And as for the other aspect, it's really about the chemistry. If you have good chemistry with your scene partner, then the scene is gonna. It's just gonna flow. You don't have to. It doesn't have to be artificial or fake. It just flows and it's beautiful. It's also really good when a bottom can take a dick. So I just won favorite cock at the 2019 Gavian Awards, which is really exciting because it was fan voted. So the fans are the ones that gave it to me.
Congratulations.
And wow. But to get recognized, you got to have like at least an above average dick, which I can proudly say I have an above average dick, which is great until your bottom can't take your above average dick.
Yeah.
And then if you're filming with them and you got to go through 3 hours of them not being able to take your, you know, above average dick, it just makes for a lot more work than it should be. So a big part of it is just your scene partner, the environment, how you're feeling that day. There's so many aspects that go into it.
Interesting. I also like how you talked, like just the way you are even able to be not only be open, but like make jokes about the abuses. I mean, you mentioned in the video, a line I wrote down, you tell some of your friends whose dads left them. Your dad didn't love you enough. My dad loved me too much. Which,
it's true.
What about humor? Why, like there are people that are not able to either joke about things like abuse or don't find those things funny. So I'm curious just how is it that you use humor? Why do you think that is a way that you're able to kind of express yourself in spite of what you've been through?
I mean, I feel like me, like anybody else, I wouldn't say it's a defense mechanism, but it's a coping mechanism. I mean, I've been through it. I've suffered through it. I've gone to therapy to cope with it, to deal with it and accept it. And I'm at a point now where it doesn't affect my life outwardly, like in any negative or positive way, really. It's just kind of numb to me. So I can laugh about it because it doesn't, it's not triggering to joke about. I can see a clip of abuse on TV or something and I don't have a panic attack or it's just not triggering to me. I'm very comfortable with where I'm at.
Has that always been the case or is that a place you've had to get through over time?
I think because the abuse started at such a young age, and I think because my mom got us into, particularly me, into therapy at such a young age and got ahead of the damage that could have been caused, I think for a while now I've been able to laugh about it. And I think that also contributed to why I was able to consciously know that Davey was filming a documentary and for me to choose that, okay, this is what my documentary is going to be about. This is going to be the opportunity for me to actually tell my story instead of just talking about it. So I think I've just been comfortable with it for a long time that I'm okay with it.
So talking about the video now, the documentary, when YouTube like basically shut down the video, when they turned it off.
Oh my God. Did, so quick after they put it out.
What were your feelings or reactions to that?
I think my first feelings were in the same way as Davey, which were understandable that the title and the tags could spark a conversation about it or maybe, you know, pique some interest. But there was nothing bad about the video in the meat of it or even in the title at all. Like, it was catching. But so, I mean, my immediate thought went to censorship, and I thought it wasn't fair because all of my other co-stars had these amazing intimate videos come out about themselves. So why is mine getting shut down simply because it catches the eye? So I was kind of upset because, I mean, Max Adonis' video has 4 million views. I'm trying to get to 5. Let's go.
Do you think it is about the abuse that you talked about that's the reason they took it down?
I mean, my first thought was that it was the title. I mean, my dad was my first blowjob. Boom, porn.
Yeah.
But like, but not really though. And that's why they need to look. They can't just randomly suspend the video. They need to look into it. They need to actually browse the contents of it. To me, it would have caught my eye, but it didn't strike me as something that if I were, you know, even just like a heterosexual male scrolling through YouTube, as something that I would need to report. So, you know, I was upset by it, but I also know that Davey's been in the YouTube community for, you know, God knows how long, and that ideally he has the pull to get it put back up, because I knew that the video didn't contain anything that violated guidelines.
Yeah. There's so much content out on the internet. There's just so much, and a lot of bigger companies, they do so much automatically because it would be impossible for them to have actual like staff that would go and look into it. And it's really unfortunate because it tends to skew towards excluding queer people. And it's really unfortunate to hear that your story, which is super important and something that people should hear, got targeted that way, right?
Yeah, and I can understand the automatic thing for smaller subscribers, but Davey is a literal iconic YouTuber. He's been, I watched Davey Wavy growing up back when I was like, I mean, I'm only 21 now. I'm about to turn 22, but I was watching Davey back when I was like 11 or 12 years old.
Yeah.
So it's insane to me that somebody with so much recognition and just so much behind them could still be, you know, flagged like that and taken down like that. It's like, he's not just some random new subscriber who got on YouTube trying to post some random porny video. Like, he's an actual icon. He's done so much. So I think that was more frustrating than anything as well, knowing that like they censored him, someone who has pioneered things for the gay culture and the LGBTQ community.
Yeah, absolutely. And then he did definitely like. Sounds like we'll talk to Davey more in just a second, but went to bat on getting the video posted and making sure your story was out there. So, I think all of us are really happy that is up there for people to see.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that a lot of people had reached out to you and said they went through similar abuse. Is there any either advice or something that you would want to say to other people who have experienced what you've experienced?
I almost hesitate when it comes to giving advice simply because every situation is always different. Like, my situation was so unique compared to someone else's abuse situation. Like, I would love to say, I mean, like, I wouldn't say get caught in bed with your cousin like I did and that's how the abuse came out, but I definitely had a support system there that I knew I could go to. And it's obvious that so many gay people don't, or even, you know, hetero people who have suffered abuse, they don't necessarily have that support system. That's a tough one. I would just say find the people you trust and the people you love and confide in them and then work together as a group. Like, the only reason I made it as far as I did and the only reason I'm as comfortable with myself as I am today is because I had a support system. I had people there who loved me and praised me and cared for me every single day and always were there. Oh, I'm not going to get emotional because I don't do that, remember?
But, yeah, right.
it's about your support system. Find a family. If you're gay, build your family. If you're straight, well, come on, you're straight. Is it that hard? find a support system. That's what did it for me. Find a friend group, a family group, everybody.
That's great.
That's the best I could do.
Yeah. No, that's great.
So, Calvin, before we let you go, I wanted to let you know on the podcast, we always ask ourselves and any guests that we have what the gayest thing about them is this week and what the straightest thing about them is this week. I'm putting you on the spot, but do you have an answer for those?
Okay, I'm going to start with the straightest thing. The straightest thing I did this week was eat Chipotle.
Yeah.
I felt like, or I felt like a gay top, but it felt much more hetero than anything else. The gayest thing I did this week was just, oh God. Well, I didn't drink this week, so we know I didn't do anything crazy gay this week. Because the more I drink, the gayer I get.
Don't we all?
Oh God! I mean, I just filmed a scene today, and it's a gay scene for gay porn on Cocky Boys. Everybody should subscribe. That was pretty gay.
That's pretty gay.
That was a whole, you know, what's it called, a cream pie and like, you know, deep throat nonsense.
Wow.
It was explicit. It was explicit. It was not this podcast. It was explicit.
It was actual explicit. Where can people see? You mentioned Cocky Boys, but where else can people
social media
find
that kind
you?
Of thing?
Well, social media always Twitter, Calvin Banks XXX, and Instagram, Mr. Period Calvin Banks.
Awesome.
Follow me. I might follow back. Hey, hey.
Oh.
Ooh.
Like my photos are like your photos. Hey.
Calvin Banks, thank you so much for talking to us. We really, really appreciate your insights, and I'm beginning to appreciate your work.
Subscribe. Pay for your porn. Everybody, pay for your porn, please. Yeah. Keep those floating.
But it's really awesome to talk to you too, because you seem like such an awesome dude. Like you know,
and I've seen your dick, so I think you're the first guest whose dick I've seen.
There we go. I'm winning. We're winning. No, thank you guys. I really love and appreciate what you guys are doing.
Thank you so much.
When David reached out and said, this is a podcast, I want to elaborate on this, I think it's a great idea, and I love what you guys are doing. So I love that I now have a new partner on my long-ass drive.
Oh
yeah.
Yeah. Thanks.
I had no idea, and I'm so excited.
Yeah. Thanks, and we're sorry.
We love all things gay. Let's go.
Yeah. All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you guys so much. Have a good day.
You too. Bye. We talked to Calvin a little bit about some of the details about like the video and YouTube taking it down and putting it back up. So now we want to explore that a little bit more with you, Davey. But before we do that.
So I'm really sad. I didn't get to ask him the question because I forgot because I got like flustered. So I'll ask you instead. What does Alex Meekum smell like?
You know, I have a very professional relationship with all the people that we film with, so
blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. He smells like everything that you could imagine and more.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So before this video, have you had any of your content taken down or anything like this for your channel?
So, yeah, this has been like an ongoing battle that I've been having with YouTube, and this is the latest iteration. I've never had something specifically like this happen, which was that they locked the video. They kind of have this whole arsenal of tools that they use to censor different sex content. So often my videos get age restricted. I have had a few pulled down, but then generally I can appeal it and it gets reinstated. So it's this whole dance that I do. And I get it, like my content, it never really crosses the line, except for the one time that I did accidentally upload a penis. but it does generally like tiptoe up to that line. I know where it is, and I don't cross it. But a lot of the enforcement, you guys mentioned this, is done by algorithms. Like, it's not real people watching these videos, and they definitely err on the side of being overly cautious. And so anything that can potentially seem problematic, they usually take some sort of action on. The rate at which that's been happening has definitely escalated over the last couple years. So I think the direction it's moving in is very alarming, especially for people who value a free and open and fun internet.
So, yeah, I have heard about this more recently of people talking about LGBT content getting removed. But you're saying even before I've been hearing about it, just as an average person, like it's still something that's been happening in the background before this.
Yeah, a lot of it has to do with brands, right? Because like Google bought YouTube and then they started monetizing it. And as soon as that happened, like a lot of the fun kind of went out the window. So the reality is like the Walmarts of the world, the Procter and Gamble's, Johnson & Johnson, like they want to make sure that their videos, that their ads don't run against videos that are offensive. And so there was an incident a few years ago where there was like Coca-Cola ads running against like Nazi propaganda films.
Yeah.
And so a lot of brands pulled their money out and they were like, YouTube, you need to get your shit together before we're going to spend any money. And they called that adpocalypse. And it was it was a pretty bad experience, especially for creators that rely on that income. But it really prioritized YouTube trying to figure out a way to ensure that brands ads were displayed on brand friendly content. But it really caused them to step up their game with how they review and censor the content on the platform. And it's had, I don't rely on ad revenue because my videos are generally offensive and ads are not going to run on people putting sex toys up their butts and, you know, reacting to it or cooking with semen, which actually surprisingly is one of the few videos that is monetized on my channel.
Wow. Really? But like Betty Cocker?
Oh, that's a good one.
No,
yeah,
thanks.
Yeah. So I don't remember the question.
No,
but yeah.
Neither do I. I was going to ask another question.
Yeah, sure. I'm here for you.
Okay. Cool. Well, I'll consider if I want to do that. In general, I'm sure there are a bunch of them, but what are the general rules that you have to follow to not go past that line?
Yeah, so it's a gray line. I mean, you can Google it if you want to see how they actually word it. It's kind
it's
of
still
a
like reading. So
yeah.
That's why we're in podcasts.
It's all very gray, and it's like, you know, hate content, obviously stuff like that falls into categories where people are being bullied. That content is all, you know, restricted from YouTube. When it's sex, it can't be sexually explicit. You can discuss sex topics. Like, I can show the face of someone getting a sex toy up their butt. I can't show the toy going up the butt. So there's kind of ways you can do the dance. And for me, like, growing up, I would have loved to have had a place where I could go and see gay sex, queer sex being talked about in a way that was like really positive and informative. And I think as sensational as some of the video titles are, some of the content that I create, there's always a good message in it. And it tends to fall on the more educational side. And you do have a lot more leeway with YouTube when you're educating people. Having said all of that,
however this happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Having said all that, there are a lot of issues that still come up.
When someone says, like, I want to tell this story about being abused, I would personally just start worrying about, like, okay, am I going to do this right? Am I going to have the right reaction? Am I going to show the right things? Did you worry about any of that? Or
yes, completely. And this is part of what pissed me off so much about the video being removed. It's because it's like someone's really trusting you with their story to not just tell it in a way that does justice, but to share it with the world. And, you know, they're kind of handing you this thing that's so important and meaningful that they've poured their heart and their tears and their soul into. And so I really take my job, like, I feel like there's a lot of responsibility there. We had someone edit the video together, and I felt like it was done in a way that really did justice to Calvin's story. And I was really honored and proud to share it on my platform. And then, of course, 13 hours into me uploading the video, I get a notice from YouTube that the video was locked. And the only person that'd be able to see it is me. So in the first 13 hours, I had like 67,000 views. You know, like a lot of people clicked on the video and were engaging with it and sending emails both to Calvin and myself. And quite a few blogs like picked up on the coverage and wrote articles about it. And then when you go to click the story, then, you know, all you get is a notice that YouTube removed the video. And to me, like, I know that this isn't what YouTube meant. I know this isn't their policy, but it sent the message that stories like Calvin's shouldn't be told, survivors of sexual violence, you know, should be silenced. That's what it felt like. And having Calvin, you know, entrusted me with this really important and meaningful story. And then suddenly to have this happen to it, you kind of feel like, okay, well, I'm going to do everything I can to right this wrong. And it took 36 hours of emails, phone calls, lots of emails and tweets to get the video back online. And, you know, we live in a country where it's like, the reality is the video did not violate any of the community guidelines. I think the title was, you know, a little bit sensational, and given the content, I think YouTube's algorithms just erred on the side of caution. But like, the reality is we live in a country where you're innocent until proven guilty. On YouTube, you're guilty until you're proven innocent. And what they're not in my opinion, really fully considering is what the impact is of taking a video down, even if it's temporarily. But the reality is, if I didn't have a million subscribers and if I didn't have people that I could contact at YouTube, then that video would have never, I really believe it would have never been reinstated on the platform. It would still be down.
Well, first, do you want to give any like specific names of people you talk to at YouTube? Kind of list them out, or
Honestly, I mean, the response that I got from YouTube once the video was finally back online, I could take a breath, and then I wrote a very strongly worded email about like this experience and creators' voices being silenced and the message that this sends to victims of sexual abuse. And my, I have a, like a manager at YouTube,
a handler.
Yeah. And she wrote back, I thought it was one sentence. It was actually two. I took another look at it and it was basically like, thanks for your feedback on the sensitive matter. I'll see if I can find someone in a department for whom your story has value. Whoa. It was like, just so you know, like, we don't care about you.
That's what I was going to say. That seems like maybe someone around here cares, but I'll have to look.
Yeah, I'm going to look really hard to see someone that's going to care. And I was like, I want to talk to a decision maker, someone who I could like say, hey, like shit needs to be done. And, these creators that are being targeted by this are the people who built your platform. These communities of queer people, people who don't feel like they fit in, the marginalized people. Like we built your platform into what it is, and you're more beholden to sucking, the corporate cocks of these, mega rich brands. And that's what you're interested in rather than supporting the people who made this fucking platform possible. And also like, let's take a step back from this. Like there's sex censorship happening on YouTube. It's happening at an increasing rate. Yet we also just lost porn on Tumblr. Personal section is removed from Craigslist. On Grindr now, you can no longer upload pictures of yourself in a bathing suit or underwear.
Oh, really?
Because it's too sexually suggestive. I feel like we're living in the fucking Handmaid's Tale. and everyone's just like so distracted by whatever the fuck Donald Trump is tweeting that like people are not, and all this stuff is happening in slow motion. Yeah. That if it was all happening in one day, we'd all be like, oh, fuck, what's going on? But we're almost like numb to it. And I keep thinking, like, does anyone care? Like, is this fucking microphone on? Yeah. Like, are people alarmed by this?
It's the frog in the pot of water that gets put on the stove. Yes. Effect, right?
Absolutely.
Doesn't jump out until it's too late.
Yeah.
There was also a law that was passed in April of last year. I don't know how much you guys followed it. SESTA, FOSTA. It was supposed to stop sex trafficking.
Yeah.
The idea was that it holds platforms accountable, like if that platform is being used to facilitate sex trafficking. And it, really, people who are a lot more informed about the law than I am say that that's really why Tumblr and Craigslist changed their policies, and potentially why YouTube is being more and more restrictive. That, like, I think we can all agree, let's end sex trafficking. It's a bad thing, but there's, with that law in particular, there's been a real cost on internet freedom that I think we're just starting to understand like the implications of that.
So did you actually have to, I know you mentioned that, so they said the violation was that the tags were misleading. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, that's like, so they always have to come up with some sort of excuse for why they took action. And the tags, which I shared in my video, it was like Calvin Banks, Davy Wavy, Him Roast TV, gay sex, gay porn, gay. Like, this was a gay porn shoot where we were filming gay sex and talking about gay sex with Calvin Banks and Davy Wavy. Like, the tags were all very legitimate.
Yeah.
And even if you do a tag like gay porn, it doesn't necessarily identify that video as gay porn, but that the topic it's talking about is gay porn. So yeah, I mean, that's the response that they give. I think we all know that that's not the reason why that video was removed. So
did you end up having to remove those tags, or did you get to keep the tags when it went back up?
I actually did remove the tags, and I changed it to like gay sexuality. And I mean, I took out the gay porn tags, just because I didn't want to give like any more ammunition to YouTube. In hindsight, I wish I had kept them up so that I could really advocate for the importance of having those tags, but I just didn't want to give them any more reasons to say this video can't be on your platform.
Did they give you, when you were emailing them or talking to them, did they give you any other reasons? Did they stick to the tag story, or did they talk at all about what?
Yeah, no, it's the tags. You know, they kind of, that's what the automated system spit out, and that's what they stuck to. And I mean, they also know that they're communicating with me through email. Like anything that they say, I'm then going to repeat on a podcast.
Yeah, totally.
So I think they're very careful. And I was chatting with a journalist about it, and he was like, I would love to speak to your manager at YouTube before I shred them a new asshole in my article. and my manager said, oh, we'll have any questions sent to press@google.com.
Whoa.
That's like an email that they check a lot.
Great. That's helpful.
Yeah. Good luck getting a response from press@google.com.
Yeah. So what are you, I mean, are you worried at all that coming out so strongly against YouTube and saying things like they're sucking from the cocks of rich corporations, are you worried at all about any backlash to that?
Yeah, is there going to be retaliation?
I don't think so, because I think like if they did retaliate, they know that it would just add fuel to the fire. And the reality is, I am a flea on the ass of YouTube. Like, even with a million subscribers, like what, maybe I'm like the 8,000th most subscribed channel on YouTube. Like, they don't care. I don't think they care enough to respond. And I also think they have a policy of not responding, because when they do, it just adds fuel to the fire.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're going to take any action. But also, like, YouTube is not how I make my money. It's through Humorous TV. So like, that's a risk I can take, right? Like, if I was really relying on YouTube for ad revenue or as my sole source of revenue, I might be a little bit more apprehensive to talk so openly. But in the position that I'm in, I'm kind of just like, look, this is how it is. And I poured my heart and soul into YouTube for 12 years. And I'm really frustrated by the direction the company has moved in. Like, do you remember when it was fun? Like, do you remember when the internet was fun?
Yeah.
Do you?
Like, it was like on AOL Instant Messenger, and I could chat with people. Yeah. And
yeah,
you know, I got email, and that was exciting. Now it's annoying.
You felt like you were part of like a community, right? You could find like people like yourself online, and it was like, oh, this is this incredible place where I feel hope. Yeah. When have you ever felt hope in the last like 2 years on the internet?
That's true.
That's a great question. Yeah.
Like, yeah, you could go into chat rooms and not worry about like, is someone here to steal me? Is someone going to say I'm a faggot? Is someone going to like send me, you know, a vagina that I don't want? Like, yeah, no one even thought about that stuff yet.
And how is my data being like sold to corporations so that I can be marketed against, and like, and like, who's going to steal that? And like, is someone, no, it was fun.
So
while it lasted,
everything
goodbye,
used to be
internet.
Fun. Well, then to talk about the opposite, is there any kind of like silver lining or hope that this is going to change?
No, I feel like my white bonnet and my red dress from the fucking Handmaid's Tale is gonna like arrive in my mailbox, and like,
there is that.
Yeah, and we're all gonna say that. Yeah.
Can you make a gay porn version of the Handmaid's Tale?
Yeah. What would we call it? Like,
the Handman's Tale?
Handjob's Tale.
Handjob's Tale. Handyman's Tale. Yeah. No, I'm not gonna. Maybe. Yeah. You know, it's not the worst idea in the world.
Thank you.
Gay-ish, not the worst idea in the world.
Yeah.
Worst things exist, right?
You know, like, I'm in this space right now where I'm just so so angry, and I'm trying to move into a direction of like, okay, let's channel that anger into productive action. So like, if there are other people out there who do give a shit as I do, presumably there's at least a few, like, what can we do to try to like affect some sort of positive change or influence things? And I'm just like starting to move into that space now, and I don't have those answers. I don't know if there's legislation. I don't know if there's, like, I don't have a 7-step plan. I make videos about gay sex, you know?
Yeah.
I hear that anyone's allowed to declare a national emergency. That's what I hear. So I say we declare our own national emergency. I really think that's the answer.
Yeah, yeah. What's that? What is it going to be? That's, the internet used to be fun. That's our national emergency.
Yeah, that's...
porn for everyone. Mandatory porn. We'll fix this.
That would be my first executive order, is that porn needs to go back on Tumblr.
Yes. I realized the other day that I hadn't opened Tumblr in like weeks. I have no idea what's happening.
And why would you? Yeah, there's no dicks on it. Yeah.
Exactly.
I never go anywhere there's no dicks.
What are you working on now? What are you working on these days? Like, what can you look forward to?
Yeah. I mean, so I keep, like, as frustrated as I am and in some ways exhausted, this work for me, whether it's creating YouTube content that's sex positive or filming gay sex and sharing on Himmerose TV, like, that is what gives me life. That is what gives me purpose. So I am trudging onward and upward, and we're filming a shoot next month in Joshua Tree about being a better lover. And then we're doing another tantric retreat for porn stars in Sweden this summer, so we'll do 4 more documentaries. It's about the 4 cornerstones of eroticism. So, yeah. So there's a lot of good stuff, and yeah, I'm just gonna keep fighting the good fight, even if I'm doing it while wearing a white bonnet. And
4 cornerstones are dicks and butts and poppers and lube, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Nailed it. You don't need to go to that retreat, Mike. You
nailed him. Yeah.
You are wearing you've been wearing t-shirts when you talk to us. You're now wearing a sleeveless one, so you're giving us a little bit of
I forget that you can see me.
Well, the people I don't, that show is just for us. If people want to see more of you or Himmerose, where can they go?
Yeah, if they want to see more of me, you can just search Davey Wavy in Google. And if you want to see Himmerose, you just go to himeros.tv. And there's free previews of all the videos and lots of good stuff on there for you guys to check out.
Yeah, and your channel has both the video that we're talking about with Calvin Banks. You'll know it when you see it because of the title. And also...
And who knows how long it's going to be up there. Let's be real. So
you might need to get on it. And you can also see Davey's emotional reaction to the video being taken down, also on YouTube. Do you want to throw in your gayest and straightest?
Oh, my gayest is that I'm going to Key West tomorrow morning for the first time, which is also my straightest. I've actually never been to Key West before. Oh. So, have you guys been?
No.
Key West, no. No, I've been to Miami a couple of times, but not down there.
Yeah, I figured I might as well go now before it's underwater.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just full of positivity.
We can see. I mean, this was really. How recently did this all happen? Wasn't this last week?
Yeah.
So this is all understandable that you're still in the frustration phase.
Thanks, guys, for having this conversation, though, and for talking about this. I know it's not like necessarily the juiciest or sexiest topic,
I think it's super important. Like, it's totally different scale, and we had a fight with Facebook over an ad that we did
where we actually, it was when we posted a link to Himmerose, Facebook was like, yo, you should boost this for free. We'll give you a $5 credit. So I didn't really look too much at the actual. I was just like, okay, $5, great.
Free ads.
Like, you know, I'll take like a few or whatever I'll get for $5. And then that was fine. You know, it was $5, so it probably ran for like half a day, and then that's it. And then later they did that again. So I was like, okay, on a different one, said, yes, okay, sure, we'll do this again. And then they banned my Facebook account. And I was like, wait,
The whole account?
Yeah. I can't.
Yeah, I can buy us Facebook ads, but Kyle can't.
Because you're like logged in as your own name when you get. So I was like, wait, is this because like the most recent thing I posted was just about gay stuff, nothing else. And then I like have friends that I asked and they said you posted a link to porn and promoted it. And I want to be like,
well, thank you. Thank you.
Well, you know, you got
it. Was your idea. Dicks.
Yeah. I was like, you told me to. You gave me $5 to do it. Like, what?
Right.
Isn't that your fault? Like,
it's called entrapment. That's what they used to do with the urinals.
Exactly. George Michael, eat your heart out.
The same thing. Yeah. But yeah. Anyway, well, yeah. Thank you for talking about this. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Under his eye.
Under his eye.
Blessed be thy fruit.
This is the part where Mike and Kyle take a break.
Okay. Are we back?
I don't think we left.
We're back.
We're still here. We've returned from being here.
We played the break song.
We did?
Decontextualized.
What is...
And so now we're here.
Okay.
We've arrived.
We've arrived. You're here. We're here. And let's do this. Let's smoke this popsicle stand.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was... I really like talking to both of them just about that one specific example of YouTube removing a video, luckily adding it back up. But I'm going to tell you a little bit more about...
I liked when he bragged about his above average penis.
I know, right?
It was very
and
nice.
It's I mean, it, like you, it's, I think that's a sign of a, like a, he wasn't like, I got a big dick. Like, you know, he was like...
Yeah, it would have been hotter if he was like that.
Oh, but, God, yeah. That's true. Can you get choked through the phone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, or like... I mean,
just place the phone on my neck and
sure.
Nah, I don't think that's good enough. Okay.
Great.
So this has been going on. Well, I mean, apparently, you know, what we heard from Davey Wavy's, it's been going on longer than I realized. But a lot of LGBT YouTubers have been complaining about this, including Tyler Oakley.
Every time I hear YouTubers, I just think of potatoes.
Why?
Because they're a tuber.
Potatoes are called tubers?
Yeah. Hmm. It's a whole like. You know, tubers.
That sure.
Root vegetables.
Just repeating the word doesn't help me, like, you know, tubers. Like, that doesn't... Okay.
Tuberculosis.
Is that where it got it from?
You tuberculosis. I've been drinking. Okay, go ahead.
I've been drinking. Okay. Tyler Oakley, who has 7.5 million subscribers.
Yeah, okay.
What? Oh, boy.
That boy.
What about him?
I don't get it. Like, I don't want to piss him off. I don't want to start a feud. I don't want to, like, not get invited to the show. In case we ever meet him, I don't want to have, like weirdness or awkwardness. All I'm saying is I do not understand why anyone cares about him.
Why does anyone care about us? Like, it's... Have you watched his, like, YouTube videos?
Yeah, off and on. I've watched, what I've watched some of it. Yeah, I don't know. Like, It seems like his success has mostly been garnered by having really famous people on his show.
Hmm.
And
I mean, that's our goal.
Yeah. Is that true?
What are you're not?
I mean, I think we would be trying harder to land guests than we actually have.
Trying harder in general. You think we want to be famous on our own, right?
Yeah. Or something.
Anyway, Tyler Oakley, we love you. Have us on your... Well, not YouTube channel, I guess. Whatever. He does a podcast.
Great.
It's called The Tyler Oakley Experience. That's not true. Okay. And then other LGBT YouTubers, I don't know who these people are, but I'm sure they're great as well. Rowan Ellis, Stevie Bobby, and Neon Fiona. So they've all said that their YouTube videos have been hidden, demonetized, or age-gated. YouTube has said that it shouldn't be happening. I didn't realize this. YouTube has a restricted mode, which is a filter that like schools or libraries can use. Basically, it's kind of like a safe mode that limits some of the videos, kind of like a parental block. YouTube has said that LGBT content should not be caught under that restrictive mode, that it should be available to view. Mm-hmm. But
way back in the infancy of the internet, it was like 1993, 1994, something like that. We got internet at the library at my high school, and the town across the river from us is Toppenish. And for the longest time, it was a big old joke because you would go into the library and you would try to look up stuff like sports stuff, because that's totally, I was absolutely into sports then. Yep. No, I wasn't, but just work with me here. You couldn't look up anything about the town 5 minutes away because Toppenish has the word penis in the middle of it.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So so we still call it Top Penis H. and it was just this, like, all of that. The moral of that story is filters are dumb and can't actually tell you anything about the context.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And the companies that, like YouTube, that get caught in these things, say like, oh, it's a technical issue or like a bug or whatever. But then they, like, that's something YouTube said in like 2017. They promised a fix for the issue that YouTubers were facing.
We live in the future.
And by 2018, still nothing had happened. So, like, I think it's an easy thing to nowadays just be like, oh, it's the crazy algorithm. It's so nuts. It's just doing its own thing. But it's like, no, like, we guide, like, you are the one making the rules for it and guiding it.
Yep.
And you're right. Like, they're stupid in ways, like, it's so crazy that, like, LGBT content is so, it's assumed that that's somehow connected to sex. Like, the idea, you know,
that's,
I think
that's just ignorant straight cis people, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what they've been told. That's what they think. That's what they believe. They are fucking wrong. But why have facts ever mattered?
Well, I feel like maybe the people that are, like, make that connection, LGBT and sex, they might be the types of people that are so repressed when, like, the only thing they know of is when they search for gay porn.
Yeah.
Like, so in their minds, it is about sex because that's the only way they can think about it.
Yeah, they don't have a community. They just have masturbatory fantasies that they enjoy. I mean, I don't think they have any joy in their lives. That's why I was stumbling on the word enjoy, because like, their lives are awful. Being in the closet sucks, people.
Yeah.
Suck a dick. It's great.
Oh, it tastes so good. Okay. So even a year later, 2018, still having the same problems. There was one example of this trans YouTuber named Chase Ross. He has 160,000 subscribers, and he had...
I know that guy.
Oh, yeah?
We haven't met, but like, I follow a lot of trans YouTubers.
You follow a lot of YouTubers in general. I just watched like part of a video, and he's like, he's super cute. But he said that he did a test where he uploaded the same video multiple times. One of them...
I asked Davey about this.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah.
Just moments ago, Kyle.
Mere moments ago. It was before today for us. But, yeah, like... And I guess, based on what Davey said, like, he could be risking some kind of, you know, strike or something for doing that, but... It's like three of the same video. One of them refers to FTM. I think it says FTM transgender, something like that. And that's the one that automatically gets demonetized. And it's like YouTube says trans and transgender are not words that their algorithm automatically catches. But it's like really hard to believe that they're not, based on what this Chase dude saw.
Yep.
So he has had 144 videos that have either been demonetized or age restricted, and it gets worse.
Okay.
It's just so maddening. He and many other gay YouTubers, LGBT YouTubers, saw ads running. A common one was from the Alliance Defending Freedom.
Well, sounds like a bullshit organization.
I like freedom and the defense thereof. It's a legal firm that is anti-gay, pro-religion, and among other things, they defended state-sanctioned sterilization of trans people.
Good God.
So,
like Japan. No, go ahead.
Oh, wait, did they? Japan did that?
Did we not talk about this on the podcast?
I think we did. Am I supposed to remember that, or...
In Japan, the thing about like you can get gender confirmation surgery, but sterilization must be part of it.
That was the bonus Patreon content.
Yeah. Okay.
I guess I haven't listened to our own.
Great.
Okay.
Yeah, what did the number one USA Freedom for the Troops Alliance say?
It's like, it's, can you imagine, I can't even imagine being a trans, I mean, trans in general, like a trans YouTuber that suddenly finds out this super anti-trans organization's ads are running on it. Like, that's just like the ultimate insult. And you're so
I'm
mad.
Insulting
you're,
my mic.
You're punching your mic. YouTube, I mean, it's so shitty when you read like what the companies say, because they're like, we have policies against ads that incite hate, and our creators can have the authority to like block any advertisers they don't want. And it's all this like, you know, corporate lingo. And it's like, don't you like just at least recognize how shitty this is? Like, yeah. So a lot of other people had like viewers grabbing screenshots of, I mean, I heard this organization come up a lot, but anti-gay ads show up on their content, which is nutso. Nutso bazoinkers.
Nutso bazoinkers.
So I don't know if there's a, I haven't seen like a solution that's been like offered. Like there's, you know, from what I read, it sounds like everyone's just kind of in this, like they don't want to, these YouTubers helped create the platform and they don't want to leave because there's valuable information they're giving to LGBT kids who need, like, are not going to get this information from other places. So need this information. So they don't want to leave it, but
yeah. They also have, you know, if it's their livelihood, have hitched their wagon to, like, they're basically a sharecropper, right?
Sure. Exactly the same thing. How so?
They don't own the land. They're just farming it and selling the vegetables, which works out great until the landlord comes and says, you can't be on this farm anymore.
Yeah. Wow. That's a very, so such a powerful metaphor that goes back to our rural farming roots.
Hey, I grew up on a farm.
I grew up in the suburbs, so I don't know about crops.
Great.
Okay. I assume you have something to tell me.
Oh, yes. This should be brief, I think.
Okay.
Maybe we'll talk about it more. Maybe we won't. Gayish.
Gayish.
Okay. I did want to touch briefly on the phrase freedom of speech, because I think it gets thrown around a lot, and people, especially when they're upset, like to throw it around.
Mm-hmm.
So the First Amendment. In the United States of America, we have the freedom of speech. It is in the First Amendment to our Constitution. It only applies to the government. The government can't tell you what you can and cannot say. That's it.
And even then is like, they actually can sometimes. Like, you are not allowed to yell fire in a movie theater. You are not allowed during, you know, at a school to yell, I don't know, hateful things. Like, there's... Yes, we have freedom of speech, but like, yeah, there's actually, it's not absolute.
The Supreme limits. Court has talked about the reasonableness of time and place as part of the rulings for the First Amendment. But the point is, just because there is a public-ish platform like YouTube, at the end of the day, it is a private company. It's owned by Google or Alphabet. It is their thing. They can tell you what you can and cannot say on their platform.
Yeah, they get to create the rules. It's not a government-owned property. It's not like, yeah.
Yeah, if they want, censorship is a tricky word. If they want to censor what happens, they absolutely can.
And they do, in good cases sometimes, when someone's violating a copyright or promoting, you know, inciting violence or doing things. So, like, it's good that they're doing that sometimes.
I just think it's really interesting. I can't think of any examples right now, and it's horse shit. Get it together, Mike. Mostly it's in the space of like comedians who have said shitty things. And we talked about him a little bit, but the fuckface that was going to do the Oscars and now isn't.
Kevin Hart.
Yeah. People talking about like his freedom of speech and how that's being violated and we live in a free country and all of that. Yeah, that's absolutely true. No one's saying he can't be a fuckface.
Yeah, no one's saying he is not allowed to say those words.
He's being fined or put into prison.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have a right to host the Oscars.
Right.
Right. It's up to them organizing that, who they have and who they hire, and contractual obligations aside, whether they allow it to continue or not. And I just think it's really, like, people need to be really clear in this world where we're depending more and more and more on private companies that are getting bigger and bigger and bigger and more powerful. We don't have protections from them.
Yeah. I mean, that the hope would be that at the federal level, we do. I mean, we have protections against certain areas like sex, race, national origin, how many teeth you have. I don't know. Certain protected things.
Religion. You forgot religion. Oh, religion. Which doesn't surprise me.
I forgot that religion was a thing for a little bit. It's a beautiful moment. So ideally, like, the federal government would protect us in those cases so big companies are not legally allowed to do things that are grossly, like, discriminatory. But yeah, they're private companies that can make their own decisions and policies. And I do think it's scary. Like, it's great that a lot of big companies are so... Oh, I read something that was like, so many of the companies that have had this kind of censorship or whatever you want to call it, issues come up, also have 100 on the corporate equality index for HRC. So it's like really interesting. But it's kind of scary that, yes, it's great they support LGBT rights and, you know, tend to like even file your friend briefs.
Amicus.
Thanks. Amicus briefs. I got... They're like underwear you give to your buddy for Christmas.
You'll like this.
What?
I'm your friend. In Spanish, I'm your amigo. Amicus. It's the same Latin root.
Oh. Amigo brief. Yes. And where am I? This is the most convoluted way to say what I was going to say. Like, it is scary that...
You agree with me, and it's awesome.
That everything Mike said is right. And he's beautiful. No, it's, like, kind of scary how much power they have. Like, although it happens to be going in our favor this time, it's like, I don't want private companies being the ones that decide which human rights they support and don't, because that's not... That's the power the government should have to protect people.
Yeah. Especially when half the country has decided that only one source of information matters and they don't care if the facts are said.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
Dan said it really well when we were setting up. YouTube, and any other company that has a communication platform for that matter, has no obligation to anybody but themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They're not obligated to make money for YouTubers. They're obligated to make money for YouTube.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And... they don't care about rights.
Yeah.
Companies don't, like, oh God, now I'm all worked up.
I mean, companies
care about making money, period. Yeah. And there are lots of people who are lying to themselves. And I think sometimes you're one of them that
me,
like, yes, because you're fiscally conservative in a lot of ways. And you have a lot of pro business tendencies.
That's
that I think would fall into this space. Just letting them make money and that somehow like rises all boats or is good for humanity. I don't agree with that at all. I don't believe in that at all. I think that companies are only able to exist because of social structures, and those social structures should be to serve the humanity that creates them, not
the CEO,
not the company as an entity. Apparently is a person now under fucking Citizens United, which is horse shit.
Angry. Mike, general consensus from Mike right now is angry. No, I
just hate Republicans so much. I hate them so much, and they're so full of shit, and they don't care. They just continue to be full of shit, and they don't deal with facts, and they don't deal with arguments with any sort of logical consistency whatsoever. They believe in limited government as long as the government is limited to doing the things that they want done. Like, I fucking hate them so much. Okay.
No, I don't. Hashtag not all Republicans.
No, well, okay. And they have a bunch of sheep who are complicit in allowing them to continue to do this.
Yeah. I mean, that's what, like, the fact that in the Republican platform, marriage is one man and one woman. Yeah, so people, even if you are, you know, someone that's very fair and just happen to sway towards, you know, Republican beliefs, you are then supporting the political party that thinks that I am not equal.
Yep.
But I was going to say, I think you're right in that, like, in general, like, fiscally conservative pro-business, I think that's where I started when I left school, because you learn that exactly what you're saying, like, everyone benefits when the company, I mean, we learned very first thing we learned in our finance class, the goal of a company is to maximize long-term shareholder value. That is the purpose of a company. It is to make sure those people make money off of investing in that company. And the idea would be that this is one of the ideas in economics it's not actually true is the idea of perfect information. Like everyone has a perfect information, knows everything about the company and what they do so that they can make the right decisions. So the idea would be if a company is so shitty and so like anti-LGBT that we as a society like LGBT rights and would not support that company. But in the real world, I mean, that's what I learned. Like as I got out of college is like, that's not true or possible.
Yeah.
And it's, and that's what has made like pushed me more towards, I think businesses are helpful. They employ people, they help our economy, like all this good stuff, but they are there to make money and we need to make sure I was going to say control them. That sounds bad.
Why? Sounds bad. Meaning is
like controls
fine,
them. Like I don't want like not like a I don't that like conjures
them.
Sure. Yeah. Regulate. I like that better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
What are we talking about? Why? What?
I got real mad.
Did some yelling.
We started with the First Amendment.
Oh, first. Okay.
The point is, at least, like the First Amendment does not protect you against like the repercussions of saying whatever crazy thing you say or whatever thing that you do. It doesn't protect you against companies that have a platform that you want to participate on from shutting you down. You have no right to be on their servers saying whatever crazy things you want if it's against their policies or their beliefs or their feelings. And you also aren't owed. Like, anyway, it's just, it's not a First Amendment issue. It's really not.
And it seems like part of your point then is like YouTube absolutely has a right to be doing exactly what they're doing, even though it feels shitty. Is that what you're?
Yeah. See, you're so good at saying things that I want to say.
I mean, but like what is, if you could change something that would improve it, like, would you like have something, would you want something to be different? YouTube can and is doing what they're doing right now, and it's perfectly acceptable because you're saying like a company does not owe anything to you. Are you, is there a different way or structure, something that you would advocate for?
It's a great question. I will not answer it.
Is that just a question for all of us to ponder?
I mean,
like I said, I think there should be federal protections around if a company has a blatantly anti-LGBT policy. That shouldn't be legal.
Okay.
Pew, pew, pew. Fixed it. Pew, pew, pew.
Done. Great. No, I mean, I think that there's a very tricky thing, economically speaking, here, because people will only flock to things, especially on the internet, if they are free. The only way that things can remain free is for there to be a revenue stream. That revenue stream most easily is advertising. Those companies are advertising on those platforms because they want consumers to buy their products. That means not pissing off their consumers. And 40% of the country still thinks that our president is doing a great job. And so they're clearly idiots. You can't piss them off by having their kid accidentally see something that they don't want them to see.
Yeah.
So faced between looking out for the rights of people that consumers think are icky and looking out for the companies that are paying them, of course YouTube is going to choose the second one.
Yeah.
Of course YouTube is going to take money from people and be like they're
and like block content that advertisers might get up in arms about.
Yeah. So some sort of subscription service would maybe fix it so that advertisements and the whims of the consumer market wouldn't affect the platform, but then things wouldn't be as big or as successful, right?
Yeah.
You wouldn't have millions and millions of followers because millions and millions of people wouldn't pay for a $5 a month version of YouTube.
Yeah. Check out our Patreon at patreon.com/gayishpodcast.
Now on a micro level, I think it does work,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I think that's sort of the point. We're struggling as a species to figure out how to operate at a macro level with each other when so many of our social institutions are built on things that only work on a micro level, right? Like what?
Wow. It sounded so smart. And I support you.
Great.
It's probably true because you use the word macro and micro. So
yeah. Like Congress, right? There's 435 people in the House of Representatives. there were many, many fewer than that in our past, in parts of our history. But the number of representatives has been sealed at 435 for a really long time now. Despite that, our population continues to grow. So the number of people that are being represented by their representative keeps going up. And arguably, the higher that number goes, the less in touch that representative is. And representative democracy is supposed to be that everyone is represented, right? Mm. And anyway.
Puerto Rico. Whoops. Right. Except if you're Puerto Rico.
Well, and no wonder we're not fucking fixing Puerto Rico. They don't matter.
They don't have a vote.
From a certain perspective.
Yeah.
Like, not acting has like zero consequences to anybody in politics.
Yeah.
So why bother?
I guess we've decided Flint is also like a territory that we don't really care about.
Yeah, that's a national emergency.
We might have gotten off track.
Sorry.
YouTube.
Back to porn.
Corporate. I don't think we were talking about porn. Oh. Corporations, you're mean. And let Puerto Rico have a vote. I think that's the summary of this episode, right?
Yeah, yeah. The core of my message. How about this?
Yeah.
These kinds of problems will never go away until we have an economy that has a human morality and ethical wrapper around it. And we don't have that now. The dollar is the only thing that matters. Mm. Until that changes, this is going to be the same problem it's been for centuries.
So
socialism.
It worked in Venezuela.
It's working in Norway.
Oh, I read something about that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Norway.
23andMe says that's where like a lot of my DNA comes from, is Norway. And they're getting so good now, they can tell you like what parts of Norway. So
Part of Norway?
Out like way outside of Oslo, like on the west side. And which is kind of interesting because like I want to go to there now just to see how stupid my ancestors were for living in a fucking frozen tundra-ass zone.
I mean, we live in Seattle where it's
dark for 18 hours a day. Yeah, I get it.
Whatever.
Sorry, we're off track. Sorry, everybody. Sorry.
Sorry for this episode. We apologize on behalf of us in this episode. No, it's like a very interesting topic that like clearly we can get into like there. Wow. Well, yeah, they're really big issues at play that I didn't think we were even going to talk about.
Yeah. You want to keep talking?
No, let's stop. Let's definitely stop.
All right. So you want to take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break.
Let's take a break.
And cry about companies.
This is the part where Mike and Kyle take a break.
You just go right into it?
I'm ready, are you?
So are we back?
Go right into it?
We're back. Yeah.
Don't go right into anything of mine. We're going to do our gayest and straightest.
We're going to do our gayest and straightest, but first, our website is gayishpodcast.com.
All of our social media is at gayishpodcast. That's Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram.
YouTube.
And YouTube. Check us out on YouTube. You'll love us there. As far as I know, we're not running ads there, so we're not getting demonized or demonetized. And our Facebook group is a lot of fun. A lot of talking and friends and smiles. Facebook.com/group/gayspodcast.
Our hotline, you can send us text messages or leave us voicemails, is 5855-GAYISH. That's 585-542-9474. Standard rates apply.
And our email address is gayishpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And maybe like rate and review us.
Rate, review, and subscribe.
If you haven't done the three R's, we haven't mentioned it in a while.
I forgot about the three R's until somebody brought it up on the Facebook group.
Yeah. Thanks, Facebook people, for remembering things we say. Rate, review, and subscribe. It helps us.
Real quick, I will be once again appearing at the Tasting Room in Pike Place Market of Seattle on Wednesday the 27th at 6 p.m. If you want to come and hear me play music while other people try to sing to it.
Yeah, sing like mostly like there are a lot of show tunes going on, right?
We were all over it was less show tune-y last time. Oh. In fact, one person sang Ave Maria.
Like an actual singer that could sing?
Yeah.
Wow.
And lots of pop songs.
Was there any Britney?
No, but Dan did a version of Mandy that was daddy, and he got fisted.
I got in trouble.
Mandy Moore?
I got in super trouble.
For doing what?
for saying fisting a lot during singing Mandy by Barry Manilow. Apparently it wasn't family friendly or whatever. I got censored.
I didn't know that song was about fisting.
It is when I sing it.
Okay.
And we're when we have a date, we should drop that later. Andrew Gerza, that's fine.
Oh, yeah. We'll be talking to him at some point. I mean, we did, but you'll hear it at some point.
Great.
That's the definition of a tease. Okay. Gayest and straightest.
So our gayest and straightest.
My gayest thing.
Okay.
When you ordered food for me.
Yeah.
I got veggies and an English muffin.
Okay, seems like those are fruit.
Okay.
No vegetables were on.
Fine. That. Technically, you're right. I don't know why I said veggies. I sometimes just buy the veggie tray and eat it because it's delicious. Anyway, yeah, I just got fruit and an English muffin. I feel like a skinny bitch. I mean, I'm not, but I feel like that's what a skinny bitch would eat.
And you didn't even use your Smucker's orange marmalade cups?
Ew, no. I want the strawberry or... the strawberry flavor.
You probably have
for the
some.
English muffin.
You should have said something.
Oh, well, I just ate it anyway.
Great.
Also, I didn't use a fork. I just popped it in my mouth. Okay.
Like you do.
Like I do. The straightest thing is when I run out of underwear, or the last pair of underwear I always wear is Star Wars underwear.
Ooh.
I have a pair of Star Wars underwear because one time a company that was coming to present to us gave out gifts, and in one of those gift bags that I won was a bunch of Star Wars stuff, including Star Wars underwear. A little bit weird to get that at work, but I wear it.
Yeah. I can't.
I don't know why any of that happened, but.
So why was there Star Wars underwear for an adult man made? Why did it end up in a gift bag that was given away as a corporate giveaway?
Everything is wrong about it. I mean, you know there are people that want, grown men that want Star Wars underwear. That shouldn't be a surprise. Yeah, we know some. Yeah. Like you?
I would wear some.
I know. Judges cast the first stone. Don't cast a stone if you're in a glass house. Okay.
New idea. We're going to make the gayish Bible, and where you're going to translate
Try to recount Bible things.
Exactly. You're going to get real drunk and I'm going to type.
It's like drunk history, but with the Bible.
Exactly.
Oh, I love it.
Okay, great.
And Mary said unto everyone, no, I didn't fuck. And everyone was like, that's chill, Mary. We believe you. Okay. Do you want to?
But why are your belly so big?
But look at that belly. Someone got up in that coochie. And Jesus said, it's cool.
From inside her belly.
Is he? Oh, I guess he. But then there's another one that's God. Anyway, Mike, what's your?
Oh, you're talking about the Trinity.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. Great.
Go. Next. You do things.
Okay. The straightest thing about me this week was just a little bit ago, Dan was like, are the Oscars tonight? And I was like,
oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Are they tonight?
I don't care.
Hosted by no one? That's interesting.
Just the fact that I had no idea when the Oscars were. I didn't even really know that they were this week, I guess. Or next week. Whatever.
Whenever they are.
They're the 27th, if you care.
Oh. No,
24th. I lied. If you watch on the 27th, you won't see the Oscars. But yeah. And then the gayest thing about me this week, more nervousness. A continuation of last time, my teledildonic vibrator dildo.
Your exploration?
Yeah. I neglected to mention that it's teledildonic. That I bought it after our episode on sex toys when you were talking about teledildonics and we had mom call in.
So you have a remote control that you...
There's an app and I can give a code out so that other people can control my dildo over the internet. And I gave it to one of our listeners.
What?
And so I got remote vibrated.
How was that?
Last week. It was interesting, except I'd forgotten to charge it and it died. But
buzzkill.
But started out great. There was lots of buzzing before I killed it.
It was buzzing fine and then buzzkilled. That seems fun. It's have someone else
Yeah. It was real hot. Thanks. And I hope it will be hot again.
Charge it.
Yeah.
Charge that sucker.
Charge that to your Visa. Great. So that's it.
That's
a special thank you, as always, to Charlie Finn for the use of our theme music.
Thank you to Calvin Banks's penis and the rest of him for being on our show, and to Davey Wavy for joining us yet again.
Thanks to Don Cheadle for that t-shirt.
Yeah, and thanks to me.
You thank yourself a lot lately. Don't do it anymore.
Oh.
I don't like it.
Okay, well.
It's very prima donna. It's very Donald Trump of you, actually.
Oh, boy. I am the best host since has ever hosted.
Believe
my
me.
Words are the goodest words that I can talk.
All right, that's it.
That's it.
This has been Gayish. I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Getz. Until next week, be butch, be fabulous, be you. See you next week.
See you next week. Just not on YouTube.
And hear me as I will sing. Hey, and by the way, do you hear what your words bring? Oh.